remembering this day, those who have paid the price of our freedoms, lest we forget. Because if we forget, it has been said throughout history that we are doomed to repeat history. And that has proven itself time and time again. As a group of people forgot what came before, they were doomed to repeat it again because we live cyclical lives. We are the same people. If you read the scriptures and you see what the people went through in the Old Testament, we're going through similar things today. We just have more baubles, right? We have newer equipment. We have more technology. But yet we're the same people. We have not changed. So today we're going to look at how our nation was built. Why was it built the way it was? And we can thank God for our forefathers. I want you to think about Washington, D.C. The other week, David and I were coming back from North Carolina, and we actually had planned to go the entire way around Washington, D.C., so you really wouldn't see anything. But David made a wrong turn, and from where we went, I could see the Washington Monument, and I could see our state capitol. So we were pretty close to downtown. But all of Washington, D.C. is built as a monument to this nation and to the men and women who paid a price to make this country a nation. And we don't have to go as far as Washington, D.C. We saw on the video Arlington Cemetery, which of course is in Washington or in the vicinity, and all the tombstones. But yet we can go right across the street, and there are memorials. We are a people of remembering. It's been built into us. And it's not just from us, but it comes to us from generations past. And it's understanding that those memorials are important. Those memorials teach us something. And we can praise God that our forefathers were men of great faith because they took God at His word and made it a part of our national life so that we would not forget from whence we come. The motto of our country is, "In God we trust." I think it's funny because it's stamped on our money. In God we trust. I think that's an oxymoron because we have it stamped on our money. We just got things falling down, that's all. The wind blew it over. I think that's the Holy Spirit coming in. Does anybody feel that? So when we think about our national life, where did our forefathers get it from? Why do we put up all these memorials? Why do we have all these tombstones? Why do we have all this remembering? It's really kind of easy. Open your scriptures, if you would, to the book of Genesis. I want you to turn to chapter 28. Yep, we're going that far back. Because I want us to remember why we need to remember. What is going on and how does it look into our present and then into our future? Because remember, to be a memorial comes from the past, lives in today, and points to a future. That's what a memorial does, lest we forget a memorial and anointing it because God met him at this place. This was a special place. This was a place of remembering what God had done and what God had spoken to him. God had given him a promise. And he said, he stood this pillar, and he said, "As surely as the Lord does these things, he will be my God." So we need to think about why we're setting up these memorials that we see. Because these memorials are to represent something, a change in life, a major happening, something that is important. And I don't know about you, but if I met God face to face and he talked to me and told me the things, I'd be looking for something to mark that spot so I would never forget and never remember. Never forget and always remember. Because in life, as we travel forward, what happens to us? We get caught up in the things that we're in right now, don't we? We get caught up where we are, and the things that were fade away. lest something happen to bring them into remembrance. So therefore he put this pillar up so that as he came back through that way and saw it, he would remember. And when he told the story to his children, and they to their children, and their children's children, and their children's children, when they saw the pillar, they would remember. The next scripture I want you to go to is in the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. We're going to be in chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Again, this time we meet the Israelite people, and God is getting ready to speak to one of his to give him instruction. And from the first verse, we read these words. Now, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet were standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of your Lord God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So the stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Amen. Again, here's a stone. It's being set. There's 12 of them this time. And they're collecting these stones and putting them out. And they're to tell what they are about so that when people ask, they have the information to give them. That as they cross the Jordan into the promised land, just as they crossed through the Red Sea, God parted the waters and they crossed on dry ground. Now, for many of us, we would try to think to ourselves, okay, where have I had a dry ground crossing? How many of you have been in hot water up to here? And God stepped in and made it go away. I don't know about any of you, but that happens to me quite often. In those times, we need to put a memorial in our mind or a memorial in our lives to remember what God has brought us through. I want you to think about these things because these stones, you know, these two different ones here at Bethel, they have an idea of where the place was. Supposedly, the stone is still there. Whether it is the same stone or not, I do not know. But the 12 stones of the Jordan, supposedly, they're gone. I mean, they've been gone for a long time. But while they were here, they were a memorial. What happens when a memorial is neglected? What happens when a memorial is forgotten? You know, I just recently, and I'm sure you all see it, every now and then there's an Eagle Scout that will undertake cleaning up an old cemetery. Did you ever see that? Because a lot of these little cemeteries are back in the woods or in little grassy knolls, and nobody even knows they're there until they're found and revealed. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a place of remembrance once again. Some of us need to go back in our lives and get some of the dust and clutter out of our lives and remember what was there. Can I get an amen? And how God has truly been there with us and helped us through these places and times. Because as we do, those memorials will help us to remember lest we forget. And if we forget, we're going to repeat history. I don't know about you, but I don't want to repeat past hurts. How many of you would agree with that? I know I agree with that. The last Old Testament scripture I want you to go to is the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. And it's just a short scripture here, three verses. 1 Samuel 7, beginning in chapter 10. And during this time, Samuel was out with the men of Israel, and they were getting ready to go to battle with the Philistines. And before they would go into battle, the prophet would always come, the judge, because Samuel was a judge and a prophet. They would come because they were God's anointed one, because Samuel was also a priest. Okay? And they would offer sacrifice to the Lord, because they would do this before the battle to win God's favor, to make sure that they were right with God. And Samuel's getting ready to do the sacrifice. We're going to pick up there from verse 10. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." A memorial, a stone, a pillar set up to remember. I have a dear friend, and I spoke of him just a couple weeks ago. He has an Ebenezer. That Ebenezer is a flat little round disc of steel that used to be a beer cap. It was the last beer he ever drank. It's flat now because I told you he would rub on it and push on it in his hand. He always made sure the sharp side was down so it would hurt. It no longer hurts because it's flat. I want you to think about what that means, because here's an alcoholic. He knew the pain that that drink was bringing him in his life and in his family. And God took the pain away as he pressed that thing into his hand over those years and took that sharp edge and turned it out. And now it's a place of peace and comfort. Thus far hath the Lord brought us. How many of you have an Ebenezer in your lives? I have three that I carry with me all the time. I never forget from whence I came. And he carries me yet. You too, in your lives, look at the Ebenezers. Find them, cherish them, hold them before the Lord. And the pain that they once gave you, because I'll guarantee you, war is painful. But once the victory was won, there was peace. Because it says, and the Philistines warred against them no more. During the time of Samuel, the Philistines never came against Israel from that day forward. They had peace in the land. Because when we raise up that Ebenezer, when we remember, God brings us peace. So what about today? Where does that lead us as the church of Jesus Christ? And understanding that we need to remember, we need to have that encouragement and to be an encouragement to other people. And how do all these things that we have in our nation help us to remember? Again, the memorials that we build and that our forefathers built serve as reminders of from whence we have come and who has carried us thus far. We need to remember that when we look at the memorials, if we look at Arlington, you saw some of them are cut stones in the shape of a cross. Others are flat stones, and on them, if the brother or sister was a Christian, or if they were Jewish, or whatever their faith was, it's carved into them. It's in stone, just as the Word of God was initially given to us in what form? In stone. To remember, to last, okay? Because He is the rock of the ages, and He never wears out. He is our God. However, there's another type. There's another type of memorial stone that I would like us to reckon on this day. And that takes us to the book of 1 Peter. So if you would, turn there with me, please. The book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4. We use stone to build memorials. Some memorials are made out of bronze. We have statues that are made out of bronze. It's a metal. It lasts. It's not something that is going to fade. It's not something that's going to crumble or go away. We use stone because, again, it lasts. It is natural. Israel used stones. And in fact, if you notice, Israel did not use cut stone. They used natural stone because they were told not to use cut stone. There is a stone that God wants to use. And it is natural, but I dare say it's being cut every day. But not by human hands. If you are in Christ Jesus, it's being shaped to the very image of God, by God. Would you read with me from verse 4 in 1 Peter chapter 2? And this is for you and I. And we come to Him as living stones, which has been rejected by man, and coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay a stone in Zion, a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Blessed be the word of our Lord. You and I are to be a living memorial. You and I are to be these living stones that are being etched upon by God at every moment. When people look at our lives, what do they see? Do they see anything different than what they see in the world or of the world? Or are we being those memorials that are calling people to remember God? I have to tell you, this just happened last night. Last night, I went to Pete's house to get the keys for the church. When I got the keys, I went back out to get in my car, and Pete's neighbor was out on his back porch. And I thought it would be rude if I didn't say hi, okay? Because being a child of light, you should be. Being a child of light, you should be light. So I looked at the gentleman because where I parked, I was only about 40 feet away from him. I said, "Good evening. It's a beautiful evening, isn't it?" And he said to me, first words, "Praise God." I couldn't believe it. Praise God. It's a beautiful night. And I just stopped and looked at him. And you could tell he caught the fact that I stopped and looked at him. And he engaged me and said, "God has blessed us with a wonderful evening." And I said, "Yes, he has." I said, "And he has blessed me with even more." I said, "Because he puts people like you in my life to remind me that he is our blessing." There was a memorial right in front of me, and I didn't see it until I engaged it. We need to be that engaging memorial, speaking the goodness and graces, the mercies, the compassions of God into our world. So much of the world is distraught. So much of the world is cast down. And we have within us the Holy Spirit rejuvenating us, giving us life. I want you to think about this. When they put up those stones in Israel, they were dead stones. There was no life in those stones. We have life in us. The life we have is Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? There is no better living memorial than the Spirit of God living in us, protruding from us, being a beacon unto the world. And that's what we need to be. Here the apostle is telling us that we are precious in God's sight and that there are many who are stumbling and falling, but they can become works of God as well if we will be willing to be that memorial, that reminder. I just heard a story this morning of how being a memorial changed a young gentleman, and now he's wondering. This young gentleman, not that I know of, accepted the Lord, but he's thinking about God, and his thoughts and his dreams have been centered around God and what all that means. And if you're not in God, it can mean a whole lot of stuff, can it? But then that means we need to fill that person even more. We need to become even more involved in that person's life. Not less, more. It amazes me when we looked at the pictures and were saying the prayer Memorial Day, how many of you saw the picture where there was a person laying at the foot of a tombstone? I have no idea if that was a spouse. I have no idea if that was a child, but it was somebody who knew that person, because that war, or the date of their death was 2011. So it was just recent, okay? Within the last 7 years, that person died. And this person that was there is hurting, and they're longing for the person who's in that grave. Well, that person, if they're not in Christ, is dead. If they're in Christ, they are alive, and they're not in that grave, amen? And we need to be the ones that are out there consoling them and letting them know that there is a hope for all eternity, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that hope lives in us, and we are his memorial. But then our lives have to reflect it. Who we are, what we do, what we say needs to reflect that reality. When you look at the Washington Monument, how many of you know it's the Washington Monument? When you look at the Lincoln Memorial or the Jefferson Memorial, you know what they are. And I'll tell you what, I've never been to the Lincoln Memorial, but when I see a picture of it, I know what it is. How is that? Because I've been taught. I've seen the pictures. I know what it is. I know what it represents. I know who it represents. When people look at you, when they look at me, what do they see? Who do they experience? Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in the 19th verse. When they look at us, when the world is looking at us, and as we're supposed to be these living stones, these living memorials unto God, unto Jesus Christ, unto the saving grace that we know and live in every day, and are grateful for every moment, because I don't know about you, but I am a mess. Can I get an amen? And I mean that to you, not to me, all right? How many of you out there are a mess? If we're going to be honest with ourselves and with each other and with God, that's the truth. But God says this then is ought how we live, from verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Wow. That's how we ought live. When you think about Memorial Day and what's out there and you pass the flags, we know what the flag represents. But when people look at you, do they know what you represent? Do they know who you represent? Are you speaking the words? Virginia's neighbor could have been completely silent and I'd have never known that I was looking at a fellow Christian. I'd have never known that this person is an eternal being. I'd have never known that there is a hope in that man's heart. But you know what? He wasn't keeping it to himself. When you look at a memorial, it does not hide what it's about. Every memorial out there has a name on it and a date, beginning and end. Guess what? There's no end date on your life. For even though we die, we will yet live. Can I get an amen? That's God's word. And we need to be showing that to a world that is so full of hurt and so full of harm and so full of need. I'm telling you right now, the greatest freedoms that we have are being robbed every day. And there's no war taking them away. But there's one freedom that they cannot take from us. There's one freedom that they cannot take from us. And that is the freedom that Jesus Christ brings us. The freedom from our own sin. The freedom to be an eternal being here, now, effective today, this moment, and for all eternity. They cannot take that freedom away. They may try. As Charlton Heston would say, from my cold, dead hands. Because then I'll be in glory. And they can never hurt me again. But are we willing to be that type of memorial? Are we willing to be that type of person? As the men and women who gave their lives that we could know freedom. Are we willing, for Jesus says to us, lest we die. Lest we die. And that's talking about our flesh, isn't it? Are we willing to die to self, that we may be as Christ in this world, that others may know? God loves you so much, he wants to use you to touch somebody else for eternity. You can't do it. I can't do it. People have said to me, Pastor, I can't believe how wonderful you are. You don't know me. You know the Holy Spirit in me. Please understand that. I am a wretch. You know, when we sing Amazing Grace, that song is about me. But by the grace of God, he's changing me from glory to ever-increasing glory. I'm still a work in, as Marion says, progress. Okay? We said process. Marion said, nope, let's change that. Process can be static. It can be anything. Progress means moving forward, right? I love that. Because we are moving forward. This is what I was talking about. We are a memorial that looks back unto the day of our salvation. My Ebenezers. Works in the present, but calls us to a future that never ends in Jesus Christ. You and I have a glory that is not our own, but it is one that God has entrusted to us to deliver unto the people, to be that living memorial. So on this Memorial Day, have fun. Go to your family picnics. Do whatever you're going to do. But remember who got you here. And his name is Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate freedom. And from him, all other freedoms have come. That's why men and women lay down their lives, because they understand freedom has a cost and they're willing to pay it. Because God has moved in their hearts to do such. Therefore, no sacrifice is in vain. For every man, woman, and child who has died in that manner, I particularly believe, God has a special place for them. Now, some of them it may not be unto salvation, but their judgment is not going to be near as harsh because of what they did give. Do you understand me? No one gets into heaven without Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So some are going to see perdition, but not as severely as they would deserve, because they thought of their fellow man. My heart aches, but my heart aches even more to know that there are people out there right now dying by the millions who think they're free, but yet are so stuck in their sin that they're dead walking. Let us bring them to life and make them living stones, living memorials, this Memorial Day. Would you pray with me? Father God, this Memorial Day, let us remember and give you thanks. But let us also be a living memorial that not only gives thanks to you, but that lives in such a manner that others may see and remember you are God, you alone. Father God, we thank you for the men and women who have sacrificed their lives for us. But Lord, may we sacrifice our life in the flesh, in the same manner, to the saving of others, that others would know your grace, your glory, and your salvation, and come to the place of calling upon the name that is above every name, and that every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.